Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how you doing?
I said I feel like singing and a little bit of dancing.
A little bit of dancing? I think that's appropriate.
Just a little bit.
We are also joined by Kieran Sheehack from Journey into Misery and elsewhere on the internet. Welcome, Kieran. Welcome again. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me back. I'm excited. It's another one of my favorite episodes.
Yeah, this is a good one. This week, we are talking A Streetcar Named Marge, episode 8F18, originally aired October 1st, 1992. Written by Jeff Martin, directed by Rich Moore, originally finished 32nd in the ratings, Nielsen rating 11.8, approximately 11 million viewing households. It was the second highest rated show on Fox that week, following Married with Children. So,
at least the good shows are winning.
Well, quote unquote. Chalkboard gag, my name is not Dr. Death. And I assume he's referring to Dr. Kevorkian here, not Steve Williams. but I still, I'm guessing that there's something probably in the news at that time with Dr. Kevorkian, so they probably were referring to that. I couldn't find any trace of it specifically, but...
Yeah, let's hope Bart isn't doing, voluntary assisted suicides, because that could get really messy.
That's at a new low for darkness in The Simpsons, I think, if we got some assisted suicide episodes. The couch gag. Couch turns into a monster and eats The Simpsons. It's my new favorite. I think I've decided.
It's so good.
It beats I think the Flintstones were last week, and I think that might be my second favorite. So the couch gags are season 4 already setting a new high.
The one that always sticks out to me, and I'm not sure if you've got to it yet, is the one that, it's just the one that always... like I remember from my childhood, is the really elaborate circus one.
We have not gotten that one yet.
I think that's my favorite, just because it's like when you say couch gag, that's what I associate couch gag with.
Yeah, they use that a lot on syndicated episodes, so it doesn't surprise me. This episode also notable is in the season 3 production run, so it was created in the last season of Classy Kasupo doing the animation before Film Roman took over. But they did a good job, actually, considering Classy Kasupo is always considered to have a lot of weird animation errors. This is probably... they were worried this episode wouldn't come out in time because of all the animation being very complicated, lots of background characters and dancing and moving and all that stuff.
Yeah, they did a pretty good job. It's towards the end of Classy Kasupo's run, like, the animation errors had pretty much cleared up. I mean, you see one every once in a while, but I don't know. At this point, I wonder if there weren't other reasons for getting rid of them.
No, I mean, there's other reasons. Money, I'm fairly certain, was the main one. Yeah. getting into the episode itself, we see the family watching Little Miss Teen America?
American Girl.
Miss American Girl, okay. They, we get the... parodies of the tropes that they really go further on into.
It's Lisa the Beauty Queen, isn't it?
Is this Lisa the Beauty Queen? You see a little bit of that here, but they really go further into it in that episode, of course. But
yeah, I've got a list of all the ones I could catch.
was it Indiana had a race car around it?
Yeah. In order of when they appear on screen, the ones I caught were Vermont had like a stack of pancakes on her head. Maine was a lobster. Alaska was an Eskimo with a can of oil on her head. Idaho was either a potato or a cookie.
I hope that's a potato.
I think it was supposed to be a potato, but the bit there were like maybe like too many like bits in it to make it look like a cookie. Texas was oil. There was someone dressed like Abraham Lincoln, but I'm not sure which state that was supposed to be.
Illinois, most South likely.
A giant cigarette stuck through her.
Yes, North Carolina. Tobacco Road. And this is really just setting, I mean, the bit itself has Troy McClure doing the hosting. It's setting up the fact that Marge is continually telling the family, you know, I'm not going to be here for dinner. Here's a diet crusty frozen meal TV dinner.
Slender Vittles,
yeah. And she's, you know, I'm going to audition for a play. She's setting up the fact, yeah, she's trying to I'm going to do a hobby. It's a Marge finding a hobby episode. There's a few of them. And the family is ignoring her. Homer in particular. They're acting like jerks. I mean, that's basically kind of and Homer in particular, he acts like a jerk. And that's kind of what he does this entire episode until the very end. When she goes to leave, Homer's like, no, what are you talking about? Why is all of a sudden, are you going to, why, you know, and Marge, instead of standing up for herself and saying, I told you, she backs down after the kids confirm Homer that she hadn't said a word.
Yeah, that's super disturbing because I'm sure the implication of the show is that Homer just wasn't paying attention. But a serious problem within, like, serial abusers and emotional abuse is gaslighting, where you say, like, where you convince your victim that their own memories aren't true.
Yeah, that's...
That's kind of terrifying for Homer.
It is,
like,
and...
I know he's not doing it on purpose. The bit where Marge goes, like, maybe I didn't. That's really kind of terrifying.
Yeah. Rewatching it and, like, with a more critical eye in mind, it really is... The ending kind of does just, like, it makes it Homer not as bad. But still, and in regards to his... I mean, obviously, he's being compared to the character Stanley, who's in A Streetcar Named Desire. And the character of Stanley is a serial abuser. So it's not really a great comparison.
Homer's the Homer he needs to be for this episode.
Yeah, exactly. So Marge eventually does leave in a huff. She's upset because no one believes her. And we are introduced to John Lovitz as Llewellyn Sinclair, who is great, as always.
Hello, I am Llewellyn Sinclair. I have directed 3 plays in my career, and I have had 3 heart attacks. That's how much I care. I'm planning for a 4th.
John Lovitz
really knocks it out of the park on this one.
This part in particular is, they did very well having John Lovitz do the voice for it, because he does it perfectly. We learn a little bit more about Mr. Sinclair, but his previous previous directing experience.
While directing Hats Off to Chanukah, I reduced more than one cast member to tears. Did I expect too much from 4th graders? The review, play enjoyed by all, speaks for itself.
It does, to be honest. I mean, if everybody enjoyed it, well, not a big deal.
Every single person enjoyed that play. All. First, the men who are auditioning for Stanley are brought up. They have to take off their shirts. And I think you actually asked me the question last week, Matt, who auditioned for this role. I missed one.
I did. I was way off. I apologize. You know, who's screaming at their phone or whatever they listen on to, that we completely screw this up.
Jasper for sure. I think I named all the others. I did not name Jasper.
You also named Mo, which I didn't think was right, but I knew I was missing somebody.
I threw Mo in at the end because I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
I think this is the first time we've seen Flanders all muscly, though, right?
I believe so, yes. Yeah. You don't know what a heartthrob he is till now.
It's one of my favorite running jokes, that Flanders is this 60-year-old, like, buff dude underneath the sweater and the mustache.
He's the Christian Tony Horton, you know?
You're going to have to explain that one to me, Matt.
Yeah, same.
Oh, I apologize. For those who don't know, Tony Horton works for the Beachbody Fitness Corporation. He's always going on about how he's 50-something, almost 60 years old, and he's still, you know, in great shape. He looks a lot like Flanders without a shirt on. So, you know.
The what corporation?
Beachbody.
All right. Is this on television somewhere?
It's like an
They sell fitness DVDs, P90X, P90X3, you know,
of course,
kind of stuff.
Of course you'd know about that. Of course, Mr.
Yes, I would.
6 a.m. fitness man. Flanders automatically wins the role, I think, just because he looks good with his shirt off and doesn't have Otto's tattoo on his... Otto's tattoo is, I think, the first time we've seen that.
Hey, I like Otto's tattoo.
I do, too. I'm just saying, Flanders doesn't have one. I don't think Stanley would have a tattoo like that, so... I think it's appropriate. Flanders gets the role. Blanche auditions come up. They're all terrible. Even Marge, at first, is not good because there's no conviction there. And I think that's a repeating gag in this, is that Marge has no kind of conviction in her acting unless she has real emotion inside of her while she's acting. And she goes to call Homer after... basically when her audition's over, and to let him know that she didn't get the role, and et cetera. And it's at this point when she actually gets the role.
You're all terrible. What you ladies don't understand is that Blanche is a delicate flower being trampled by an uncouth lout. Forget it! Just strike the sets, clear the stage. This production is...
Homie, I didn't get the part. You were right. Outside interests are stupid.
Wait a minute.
I'll come home right away. All right, I'll pick up a bucket of fried chicken, extra skin, rolls, chocolate cream parfait.
Stop bothering my Blanche!
I think that of anything in this whole episode shows the great performance by Julie Kavner in this particular episode. That is hearing her beaten down, like, and then hearing that genuine, like, you can feel how sad she is, just like how crushed she is in that performance.
Yeah, between that and her singing, this was obviously her episode. She knocked it out of the park 100%.
But with that, we go to commercial.
And when we come back, they're back at rehearsal. It appears to be a different day, I guess, because Marge has a very special surprise, and we learn who is playing what.
Lionel Hutt's attorney at law. I'm filing a class action suit against the director on behalf of everyone who was cut from the play. I also play Mitch.
I'm Marge Simpson. I'll be playing Blanche. I made some peanut butter brownies for everyone.
Well... would anyone else like a bite of banality?
I would.
Sorry, I just had to include Lionel Hutson there because, you know, that's fantastic. Oh, I'm suing you, and I'm also playing Mitch. But as you can see, it has quite the eclectic group of people. Otto is also in there, as is Chief Wiggum, Flanders, and I can't remember if Jasper got the part or not. I want to say I remember seeing him, but
Apu's in it.
Apu, that's right. He's Steve the Paperboy. and of course, during the first rehearsal, Maggie gets in the way because obviously Marge can't leave her with Homer, God forbid. So luckily, Llewellyn Sinclair's sister, who looks and sounds almost exactly like him, runs daycare, the Ayn Rand School for Tots, where they emphasize, I believe it's called the bottle within.
Yeah, bottle. Mrs. Simpson, you know what a baby's saying when she reaches for a bottle?
Baba?
She's saying, I am a leech. Our aim here is to develop the bottle within.
That sounds awfully harsh.
Mrs. Simpson, I don't like to toot my own horn, but we're the only daycare center in town that's not currently under investigation by the state.
Oh, well, be a good girl, Maggie.
To be fair, most daycare centers are under investigation by the state at some point, most of the time. So that's not really that big of a thing to be proud of, but you know. Marge drops Maggie off, and apparently she drops her there off at every single rehearsal because Homer can never watch a baby. Which, as
Matt,
we've seen Homer Alone.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say we've seen it exactly one time that Homer was left with Maggie. She was found on the top of an ice cream parlor. He's not responsible enough to handle a child alone. It's evidence.
I suppose, but at least Bart and Lisa are there this time. Maybe that would probably be helpful, kind of, sort of, maybe.
And anyway, this is such a smart gag. Like, I did not understand when as a kid, I had no idea what the Ayn Rand, all that stuff, all that subtext in here. I did not understand it at all. But watching it more educated as an adult, knowing what all about Ayn Rand.
That's the great thing. It was funny as a kid. But now it's even funnier.
You know, I was going to ask you guys, because I can't remember how old you guys were when this would have been on, but like, this is probably like most people in like their mid-20s to like early 30s, maybe a bit later. It's going to be like their first like example of being exposed to the concept of objectivism.
Yes.
Which is such a... Yeah. And I've never read any like Ayn Rand stuff, like Atlas Shrugged or any of that. Like, all of my objectivism comes from... Well, not my objectivism, because I don't practice it, but my knowledge of it comes from Steve Ditko comics.
Yes, Mr. A.
If anyone listening to this, exactly, Mr. A. And, like, you can see it in the question, but then it's really in Mr. A. If anyone listening to this doesn't know, Steve Ditko is the guy who co-created Spider-Man. Then he went off to do his own thing, and he was really into objectivism, and he just made these like objective superheroes that were really about like standing on your own, and like Rorschach. If you've seen Watchmen, like Watchmen, Rorschach is based on Steve Ditko's question.
Yeah,
it's just such a like bizarre thing to put in a Simpsons show, and it's so perfect.
It's one of those things. It's like that's one thing kids have to be taught a lot of, and also the exact opposite of is how to work as a group. And I really think we're gonna get into later, obviously, that they only succeed in the end to get their pacifiers back because they work together. So it's a great, great gag that they go to a school that's all about standing on your own, and only by working together do they succeed. It is fantastic. I believe we were back at rehearsal yet again, because this episode seems to pop back and forth between rehearsal and the Simpsons home / Maggie. So we see Marge trying to act with Ned, and she can't summon the anger. She can't even get enough rage to break a bottle. Ned as Stanley has to show her, the proper technique for breaking bottles. And they break a lot of those bottles in this episode, so I hope they got a good deal on them, because they go through at least a dozen.
Well, I think they're just actual bottles. I mean, I theoretically you'd use like sugar glass or whatever they call it, stage glass, stuff that just breaks real easy. But I'm guessing they just use actual bottles because. Well, as we'll see, Flanders gets injured.
I really love Llewellyn's line here. It's like, Marge, I'm asking for white hot rage, and you're giving me a hissy fit. And I really feel like this is one of the one more of those great points in the episode where she, when she says her line, it really sounds like she's having a hissy fit. It's very high-pitched and kind of whiny rather than, he's right. It's not white hot rage. It's a hissy fit, and it's adorable. And it's just one more example of doing a great job. And of course, Llewellyn has something to say about that.
Mrs. Simpson, if you set out to push the bile to the tip of my throat, mission accomplished. I'm going to crawl in the bed with a bottle of amaretto. Good day.
Amaretto. Beautiful.
That's what you want to go to bed with.
It fits. It fits Sinclair. Amaretto. And the scarf. He tosses his scarf as he walks away. It really sells it.
It really does. He is such a priss in this episode. It's so fantastic. But after that, we cut back to Maggie once again, who is attempting to get her pacifier. This is their first attempt, and unfortunately, it fails with a great background music from The Great Escape. She is caught by what's Llewellyn's sister's name?
Does she have one?
I think it's just Mrs. I think it's just Ms. Sinclair. I don't know if they ever actually give her
like
her
my
first
sister.
Name. Yeah.
Okay. Good. Because I thought I missed.
I remember seeing her name thing on the desk, and it just said like Ms. Sinclair.
Oh, okay.
Fair enough. She doesn't have a first name. The Wikipedia has confirmed.
Okay. Good. But she gets caught, and Maggie gets thrown in the box. Which is apparently just a little playpen where she has to play by herself, which you'd think would be a reward in an Ayn Rand school, but I guess not. Luckily, one of her friends tosses her a ball to keep her amused so she doesn't go insane in the box.
And I do want to make the Great Escape music is used several times in this episode. They actually got the original music and just had the Simpsons Orchestra play it. And that's why it sounds like so amazing. Yeah, it was great to begin with, and it really fits the circumstance perfectly.
I love that they have their own orchestra. That's great.
Yeah, you have to when you do their music.
That's true, especially in this episode. It sucks that you got all the songs in your act, because I love them all so much. I still try to sing Apu's part, but sorry, we'll get to that. Anyway,
I work at a concert hall, like a classical music concert hall. I should try and with what minimal, because I'm just a steward, but if I could try and convince them to do a Simpsons night.
Oh my God.
All right. We go back to rehearsal yet again.
Where
we see once again Marge and Ned trying to get the bottle scene right. And at this point, I think it's really great because you learn something about Marge when she goes to break the bottle again and she just can't. And she doesn't understand. She can't figure out why Stella would do that. And of course, luckily, Homer's there to show us exactly why. He comes in to tell her, I'm here, and Marge tells him to go away, and then he asks for change for the candy machine because he's hungry or whatever. Then he there's a great background gag here where Homer's trying to get candy out of the candy machine, and he's rocking it back and forth. He's you know, pushing on it. It's not giving him the candy. So he runs and just does a flying kick into the machine. It's rewarded with a giant stack of candy bars, which that's got to be some kind of wish fulfillment. Because I know we've all tried to do that one time or another, right, guys?
I've attacked vending machines. I'm not gonna
give him a little shake.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm not. I will shake it as much as it will allow me to. If it doesn't give me what I want, if I put money in and nothing came out, I'm gonna be upset. So I will shake it, especially if it's not bolted down.
That's true. But Homer gets his candy, goes out to the car, and you think, oh, Homer's probably good by now. So Marge is a little bit annoyed, but she's starting to get the handle on the anger. And then he starts honking the horn and telling to move it or lose it, which is just, that's rudeness. That's straight out rudeness right there. And of course, this is Marge's breaking point. At this point, she feels the anger that Stella must feel. She breaks the bottle, just goes straight for Flanders' throat. And apparently he's supposed to overpower her, but he has a little bit of trouble. And Llewellyn celebrates, and we cut to black.
Yes. Flanders is unable to overpower Marge. That's just beautiful. Homer and Marge are in bed when we come back, I think. And Homer's been a jerk this whole episode. This is really the worst of it to me. When she wants him to read lines with her, and he's playing a bowling game on a analog to a Game Boy. I'm not sure if they... I didn't catch any kind of clever parody name for it, but it looks like a Game Boy. The classic original Game Boy. And she straight up asks him, why can't you support me in this? And he's like, because I don't care. I'm like, well, what? That makes me not want to like Homer at all. I mean, like, and that's, I think Kara mentioned earlier, he's the Homer he needs to be for this episode. That's really awful when you're like, I cannot muster the interest to like even, like, I can't, he's like, I can't even fake it. And I usually do that all the time. Oh my god.
You mean fake interest in her kooky projects like the Lamaze class?
Yeah, exactly.
This was another one like last time. I was watching it while Helena was behind me, like making some tea for herself. And that was like the line that really got her.
Yeah.
Really had her cracking up because she wasn't paying full attention, but that one made her crack up.
Yeah, it's these are like very basic relationship things where you don't, regardless of what the other person is getting into, don't tell you, you don't even care. My lord. From this, we cut to the extensive sequence where Maggie and all the babies team up and get their pacifiers back. And I can't pull the clip because it's just the music from The Great Escape and a whole bunch of visual stuff. It's amazing. It's probably one of the most, along with the birds reference that is the end of it when Homer goes to pick up Maggie, that the combination of The Great Escape and the birds is probably one of my top 10 visual parody scenes The Simpsons have ever done.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. The birds
it's just thing, the sound of the pacifiers.
Yes, and it's the echo. It's like there's a slight echo of the sucking noises. It's the fear on Homer. And then Hitchcock himself walks out by outside just to complete the circle, I suppose. But yeah, if you haven't watched this episode in a while, that scene alone is worth rewatching it for. Oh, so good. And so he's picked up, the babies get their pacifiers back. I don't know what happened to Miss Sinclair. I assume that she's been murdered because that's what happens to people in the birds. And she's nowhere to be seen. Homer and the kids go to the musical, and it begins, and that takes up pretty much the latter half of this third act. I pulled pretty much every song except for the little bit with Apu. They're a little bit lengthy, but they're awesome, and I did not want to not get them. So here is the New Orleans song, the controversial song about New Orleans.
Long before the Superdome, where the Saints of football play, lived a city that the damned call home. Hear their hellish roundelay.
New Orleans, Home of pirates, trucks, and whores, New Orleans. Tacky, overpriced souvenir stores. If you want to go to hell, you should take a trip to the Sodom and Gomorrah on the Mississippi, New Orleans. Stinking, rotten, vomity, vile, New Orleans. Putrid, brackish, maggoty, foul, New Orleans. Crummy, lousy, rancid, and rank, New Orleans.
The whole song just is great. It's actually a reference to why have I forgotten it right now? The musical with that had Depp and he's a barber, kills people.
Sweeney Todd.
Yeah, Sweeney Todd. The song, because there's a song about London and Sweeney Todd, and that's what this is going for. It's a song about it. You know, it's obviously poking fun at itself, at its own setting. Apparently, this was screened for the press before it actually was, released on Fox on Thursday, and the lyrics were released as well, and people really got upset. There was the chalkboard gag for next episode is actually going to reference it. I will not defame the city of New Orleans, I believe is what it says. It comes back actually in 2005 when Channel 4 in the UK aired this episode a week after Hurricane Katrina.
Ooh.
And people were upset again about the song making fun of New Orleans. So it's happened twice now. Well, hopefully no more disasters will occur in New Orleans and make this a touchy song. The musical continues. We have the scene made famous by Brando in Streetcar Named Desire with Flanders singing a song.
Stella! Stella! Can't you hear me yell? You're putting me through hell, Stella.
Then we have Marge on a rope flying around the stage as lasers and fog shoot around. Bart thinks she's flying, but Lisa corrects him, and it's supposed to represent her descent into madness. And finally, we get a song about the famous last line of the play, which is not necessarily the meaning that the song portends, I should say.
Whoever you are, I have always depended on the kindness of strangers.
You can always depend on the kindness of strangers to buck up your spirits and shield you from dangers.
Now here's a tip from Brad you won't regret.
A stranger's just a friend you haven't met. You have.
I was like mouth singing along to that.
Yeah, it's so
there's something I kept rewinding to check and I couldn't see it, but I would not be surprised if the streetcar that Marge is riding on said Desire on it.
Oh no.
That's the sort of kind of misinterpretation of the story that they're going for. Mm-hmm. So you can't read it. I looked, but I would not be surprised if that was the intention to have Desire on the streetcar.
Yeah, anyone out there is not familiar at least with the plot of A Streetcar Named Desire, or has at least seen it, that line is delivered ironically because she has gone crazy after being abused and is going to an asylum. So as she is being taken away by dudes. And she's in straitjacket. That's the original message. It's not a glorious Broadway musical number. No, I have I found a little image of that streetcar. I cannot see if it says anything. No, it's too small. So the musical ends. Raucous applause. Everyone comes out. Gets their due. Marge especially. Mistress, I think Sinclair pushes people aside so that he can get his applause. I'm trying to think of a good word, but I can't.
Kudos.
That's a good one. Thank you, Matt. Plays over. Everyone's kind of, emptying out. and Homer wants to talk to Marge one-on-one.
Marge, you were terrific.
Oh, come on, Homer. By the end, you were so bored you could barely keep your selfish head up.
I wasn't bored. I was sad. It really got to me how that lady here... You know which one I mean. You played her.
Blanche.
Yeah. How Blanche was sad, and how that guy Stanley should have been nice to her.
Yeah? Go on.
I mean, it made me feel bad. The poor thing ends up being hauled to the nut house when all she needed was for that big slob to show her some respect. Well, at least that's what I thought. I have a history of missing a point of stuff like this.
No, Homer, you got it just right.
And I guess it redeems Homer a little bit for how jerkish he's been acting this entire episode. But he goes on to compare himself to Stanley, and Marge says a little bit, but Stanley is a monster, if you're not aware, and if you guys out there aren't aware. He, in Streetcar Named Desire, Stanley, like, abuses women, abuses his wife, and is implied that he rapes Blanche. So it's comparing Homer and Stanley... is not very complimentary to Homer. That is the thing that's bugged me about this episode, because it's so good, but that weird thing comparing them is, it bothers me.
It seems like every time it's convenient for the plot, Homer turns into a huge jerk. And, you know, Homer, even in the best of times, is not the most attentive husband, obviously, but they really go out of their way whenever it's going to be a Homer, I don't want to say Homer versus Marge, but a Homer and Marge, you know, their relationship-centric episode, they always move them to the extremes where Marge is the harried housewife and Homer is completely inattentive to her. Whereas in most episodes, you know, it's a little more closer to, you know, the middle where Homer is occasionally forgetful, but really does love his wife. I mean, it sucks that they have to basically assassinate his character so hard just to get the laughs across and, I guess, the feelings.
Yeah, someone had to... They wanted... Reading about the process and creating the episode, they wanted to really emphasize the comparison between, you know, the play and, you know, The Simpsons. So they had to kind of move the people around to fit those roles a little bit better. Marge is also not quite Blanche DuBois in that way, because Blanche does have mental issues. It serves the greater parody reference, whatever you want to say, so I can let it slide, because the rest of the episode is so good. The songs are so good. The Maggie part, you know, the Maggie B story is amazing. You know, you have to let it go.
Maggie B story is so short, but I kind of feel like it doesn't quite overwhelm the A story, but it almost rivals it in terms of hilarity per minute.
Yeah. Quality, not quantity. Any final things you want to say about the episode, Karen, before we move on?
I just think it's, like I said last time I was on, I like the episodes where Homer kind of surprises you and shows he's got a bit more to him. So at the end, when he shows how perceptive he was of the play, even though Llewellyn Sinclair butchered it and misinterpreted it, Homer still came away with the right message. It's one of the reasons why I love Homer. And it kind of ends with showing why he isn't Stanley and why he'd never be Stanley, because he has a true love for Marge. And I think Homer and Marge's love is one of my favorite things for an episode to be around. Even if most of the episode Homer is an obnoxious bore, it comes round to it at the end to remind you that why these two are just such a great couple, and because it's such a thing in like sitcoms of like the fat dope and the beaten down, too good for him wife. And none of those shows really go into why they are perfect for each other as much as The Simpsons does, to the degree that The Simpsons does.
I can't disagree with that. So we will rank it at the end of the show. It's going to be a tricky one, I think. I'm not entirely sure where to put it. Let's see. We have a My Favorite Episode submission for this one. We got one right under the wire. I got it, 2 days ago. So, as of the time of recording. I'll read the whole thing because Brandon, this is Brandon at Funny Film Fan on Twitter. He's a longtime fan. He tweets at us all the time. He sent an excellent breakdown of why he loves this episode so much. This is my favorite all-time episode of The Simpsons because it is strong in so many areas. It is a musical episode, and all things being equal, an episode with songs is better than an episode without songs. It requires heavy lifting by the supporting cast, the people of Springfield. Ned, Chief Wiggum, Pooh, and Otto all get to shine, and Lionel Hutz gets a funny line. Strong guest star performance. John Lovitz, Llewellyn Sinclair. He perfectly parodies the small-town theater director, as demonstrated by this quote when he introduces himself to the cast, which is the, I am not an easy man to work for. While directing Hats Off to Hanukkah, I reduced more than one cast member to tears. Did I expect too much from fourth graders? The review, play enjoyed by all, speaks for itself. He also voices Llewellyn's sister, who runs a daycare, which I will talk about next. Extremely strong B-plot. Normally, the B-plot revolve around Maggie, which is a rare thing, and it's also a movie parody, and the conceit of the Ayn Rand School for Tots is levels behind the kind of humor that was shown at the time. Includes my all-time favorite Homer quote, "Well, at least that's what I thought. I have a history of missing the point of stuff like this." Just so perfectly encapsulates the well-meaning version of Homer. The best part of the episode is how the main story really takes you through the worst of what Marge has to put up with because she is married to Homer, pudding in parentheses. It takes Marge through a journey where she learns to stand up for herself and surprisingly shows that Homer can be at least a little bit self-aware and loving to Marge. And that, again, is Brandon, Funny Film Fan. You guys, if you have an episode coming up that is your favorite, please send in something similar, just explaining why it does not have to be as long as that. It could be longer. I'll read I'll sum up a term paper if you decide to write one for us.
What about dissertations? Do you do dissertations too?
I don't think so, Matt. I'll read the whole thing. I will probably not read. I'll read it to myself. I will not read it on air, the whole thing. You can email us at simpsonshowpod@gmail.com. Next up, comments from the news group. Apparently, we mentioned this a couple weeks back about The Simpsons parodying dinosaurs. Apparently, dinosaurs creators saw that and struck back with their own "quote unquote" funny opening.
Yeah, but who saw it? It was just dinosaurs.
It's about. I guess they were just showing about the prevalence of that the trope. I mean, the fact that the Simpsons have a fat. There's the overweight dad, and you know the nuclear family and all that stuff. They're going about a long way to say that. That's in lots of television shows, and it's even more prevalent now, but they're trying to defend themselves in that way. I have not seen it. And of course, more debates about the quality of the show. People complaining about the songs. They don't... what are you...
Those people are dead to me.
they don't like this episode, and they don't like... every week. Of course, there's also people raving about it, so I try and be, you know, as fair as possible, but they're... I think that's what the news group, the alt.tv.simpsons news group, was famous for, is about people complaining about episodes even as they were hitting, you know, the best, the golden years of the show. It's a perfect time for a cat to use the litter box right at this moment. don't worry about your hamster, Karen. I think that's it for the news group. Listener question of the week. What is your favorite piece of Simpsons merchandise and why? And I really love the answers I got this week because they are all very personal. I really like the answers. They're the best when they're very personal and related to, you know, someone's personal experience. And I got to see pictures of all the stuff that I need to go out of my way to find. I need to get myself, I'll go over it right now. We have Ryan at Rye Coco. The Simpsons pinball party. Have the machine at house and it always sucks me in. Good thing it's not taking my quarters anymore. Yes, I desperately... This is the most recent Simpsons pinball machine. I think it was in 2003 or 4 it was put out. And I would love to have a Simpsons... I would love to have any Simpsons pinball machine, really, but a Simpsons pinball machine would be amazing. Sean at SeanyMac15, the Simpsons Forever book series. The number of hours I spent studying these books in tribute to my uncanny Simpsons knowledge today. I know Matt has... You have that giant, thick book that's all of it combined, right?
I do. I also have the original one that came out after the first 8 seasons, which is, you know, what I'm going to check in with, essentially, because I read that thing to death. I brought it to school with me almost every day and checked it out with all my friends who had watched The Simpsons, and it literally is in tatters now because of how much I read it.
Yeah, I got the first 3 of those, I think.
Yeah, I have the first three as well.
They did 1 to 8, then they did 9 and 10, then they did 11 and 12.
Yeah, and then they realized...
Yeah, I had those three.
Then they realized, the show's just going to keep on going. We probably should click more than two episodes at a time. Amanda, drawn to his sanity. The recent Lego Simpsons figures. I super glued Flanders to a Haribo, and now I wear it to work all the time.
Aww.
That's great. Yeah, I gonna get that Lego, the Simpsons Lego house. It's gonna happen. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm looking forward to the new series of the minifigs.
Yeah, they're with the Quickie Mart. I think they're releasing more because they're doing.
Yeah, the Quickie Mart is out now. I think it came out this week. I'm not sure when the minifigs are out because I know they've had the Quickie Mart at my Lego store for a few weeks now. Because if you're like a VIP member, you can get it early.
Mm.
But I've got all of the. It's not my answer for the merch question. But I've got all of the first wave except Grandpa, because I have two Krusties. Because when I went into the Lego store, and I'm completely derailing this. I apologize.
That's fine.
I went into the Lego store to buy them all, and they had them all in baskets, but still in the bags. So they'd obviously just like felt them and been like, "Okay, that's Marge. That's Flanders." And I got one of each. It was £40 altogether.
Jeez.
But I got, and that'd be like, what, like $60, $70?
Yeah.
But I got two Krusties and no Grandpa.
Oh,
man. I decided not to change that. And I still have that second Krusty as kind of a, don't spend that much money on something like that at once again.
Yeah, that's my...
I'm only going to get a few from season two. I'm just looking at them now. Mole Man I want to get. Maybe comic book guy. I kind of want to get the Lisa and the Maggie because they have Snowball and Hansel the Helper. I kind of want more.
It's a struggle.
So I'll let you get back to the listeners.
No, it's fine. That's why we have these questions for discussion.
Oh, Smithers, how's Malibu Steaks with the new hat?
Oh, no.
That's my favorite thing with them, though, because they have like the best accessories, like... Milhouse has a copy of Biclops.
Oh, so, no. Next we have Cody. Cody Av at Cody Av. He asks, do you accept unlicensed merch? And he provides a link, which I will be posting along in the description of the episode in the notes. It is, I've seen it before. It was on Reddit, most famously. It's spread around the internet by now. Where this guy, I don't know if you've seen this, because I know you're on Reddit.
I think I know where this is going.
It's the giant, he does giant woodcuts.
No,
puts them in his yard. And he's done a bunch of them. I've seen The Simpsons and I've seen The Adventure Time. And they're amazing. They're gigantic. And he has Homer in the kiddie pool. He has that, like, it's like 6 foot wide, and he's painted all of them, and they're amazing. I'm going to post a link to it. You can probably find it if you just, for a quick Google search, but I will also post a link if you guys have not seen them. They are amazing. We have, let's see, Baron Von Wong, at Roger Wong. His answer, Buzz Cola, bought from my local 7-Eleven that was converted to a Quickie Mart for the Simpsons movie. Well, I can't, I was not anywhere close to a 7-Eleven when that happened. And I was so upset that I couldn't get to one.
So sad.
We have Izzy, a fan of the show, a friend of the show. I'm a bit partial to this wedding Simpsons wedding cake topper that my wife and I had at our wedding. That's, I had to include that, considering Matt and I have both been married in the past 2 months. Joanna, it's the Bart Simpson's Guide to Life, a wee handbook for the perplexed for me. Remember having this book back in 8th or 9th grade and just reading it over and over. Kevin Nash, I wanted to include the full name because I know Karen is a wrestling fan, as am I. And I don't think it's that Kevin Nash, but his answer, My Simpsons Grill. I've been using it for over 15 years. It's still in great shape. And it is in great shape. He has a picture on a lot of these have pictures on our Facebook or our Twitter ads. You guys should check all this stuff out. It's really cool. I had no idea there was a Simpsons Grill. It's yellow. It looks awesome. Sean, I went into a movie theater one Saturday morning and stole the promotional cash they had from the Simpsons movie. Still have it in my garage.
Fantastic. Great job.
We at the Simpsons show do not advocate theft from any kind of movie theater. But I do definitely envy the fact that he has that couch. Brian,
we do not advocate the cool crime of robbery.
Brian, I have the singing dancing Santa Homer. It is so obnoxious and wonderful all at once. He linked to a YouTube video of it, and it is obnoxious and wonderful. Chris, of items past. I had a pair of Homer's slippers where you stick your feet in his mouth. I've put them through hell. Rest in peace, homie slippers. Currently, the clear winner is the Homer Hot Wheels car. So awesome. And with Chris reminding me that, I went out and bought myself one of those this week. And now I have it sitting on my computer, on my desk. It's pretty awesome. I agree with Chris. It is awesome. I hunted it down online. Elizabeth, this is another, like, Simpsons merchandise is so widespread. Her answer, animal toys. I work at a supermarket, and while stopping after my shift, I saw the Simpsons cat and dog toys on a J-hook, so I bought every single one of them. Apparently, there's Simpsons cat and dog toys. Evan, finally, his is a PC game called Virtual Springfield, which I remember. It was so awesome at the time. I got the game from a book club magazine in primary school and couldn't stop playing it. You get to go through the whole town of Springfield through first person exploring everywhere from the power plant, Flanders Rumpus Room, the elementary school, etc. You can even play Larry the Looter. The goal is to find items throughout Springfield to unlock more locations. The game is so awesome for a point and clicker that I still play it 15 years later. Also, a shout out to my crappy Nintendo game Bart vs. Space Mutants. It's so crappy, but still has a soft spot in my heart. And it's a Nintendo game. I know a lot of us have nostalgia for them, but most of them were crappy. They were not well made. Matt, you've already kind of given us your answer, but officially, what is your answer?
Officially, I just want to say is the complete guide to our favorite family, seasons 1 through 8. I actually have the updated version, which is seasons 20,
I believe.
I believe it is 20. Yes, all right. I can't see that far. My eyes are pretty bad. It's on the bookshelf behind me. That one is massive. It's actually updated to, in the original one, each episode got a single page. And a few of them, the really important ones, got 2 pages. In the updated one, every single episode has 2 pages. It is heavy. You could easily kill somebody with one of those. It's great. It's got all the little gags. It's got, you know, sidebars about all your favorite characters. It is just, as someone who wanted to know everything about The Simpsons, it is the perfect piece of merchandise. And I still read it to this day when I get bored.
And before the internet, that's all there was. You couldn't, like, unless you were on alt.tv.simpsons in the proto-internet, you're not going to, an average kid is not going to have access to all that information. So when I got that book the first time, I was like, whoa, all this stuff. It was amazing. Kieran? You've got me curious. What is your answer?
There are a few that come to mind. I love my minifigs, although I do have a bit of buyer's remorse over them. I've got a complicated relationship with my minifigs. One that isn't my answer, but I'll give a shout out, is for Christmas this past year. If anyone is listening to this because they listen to Journey to Misery and they know about me and Helena, who's my co-host and girlfriend, she got me the big Simpsons. I can't remember what the title of it is. It's a bit too far away from to reach. It's like the family photo book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like the history of the family, like the canonical history of like Homer and Marge's relationship from that episode where they're both at camp together through to them getting married and like Maggie Makes Three.
Is it the Simpsons Uncensored Family album?
Yeah, I believe it is. Okay. It's all the way over the other side of the room. And the front cover is facing the wall, so I can't see all the titles, but I believe that is right. That is not my answer, though. I'm going to send you a picture of my answer now. I totally forgot I had this until you mentioned Simpsons merch, and it just sprung into my mind. I had this as a child. I just sent you the link. And
oh, yes.
Yeah. It's a very kind of bad Bart Simpson doll with a massive head and kind of weird plastic arms. And just every part, just looking at it gives me like sense memories of touching it. I can remember what the head felt like. I can remember what the nose and the feet and the art and the hands felt like just by looking at that picture. I had that for so long as a child. I have no idea what happened to it, but that is my favorite piece of Simpsons merchandise.
Yeah, I had one of those as well, and I still have it. It's just not looking pretty good. It looks pretty awful right now. 20 plus years later. My favorite, we're all doing this. I'm going to do one that's not really, but I have fond memories of, is a shirt I had as a child. It was Bart in front of the chalkboard, and the chalkboard gag was beans are neither fruit nor musical. And I love that shirt. I wore it until there were holes in it. And then I continued to wear it because I didn't care. I had troubled clothing.
Because you were a dirty little kid.
I was a very nerdy little child. I should have just worn clothes that were not in tatters. My real answer is a gift from my father. Is a animation cell with Homer holding a gun, pointing it out at you, basically, signed by Dan Castellaneta. It's amazing. It's a great frame if you're going to only choose one to have as a cell. So I have to pick that. It's great. I need to find a good spot to hang it in my new house. I'm gonna hang it on the wall. I apologize, Karen, for my terrible British accent.
I didn't even realize that's what it was.
Yeah, exactly. That's how bad it is. That's how bad it is. Next week's question. This is from a listener suggesting. I was so good, I had to choose it. It's from Bryant at RedSoDeep on Twitter. What one episode would you show to someone who's never seen The Simpsons, and why? So they've never seen an episode. What would be the first one you show them as an introduction, so to speak? This is a very good question. I'm going to have to think about it. I think I have an answer, but I'm not quite sure. So I'm going to think about it a little bit harder. I'll post on all our social media on our Facebook, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, Twitter, SimpsonsShowPod. Again, you can email SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Next up, this time for the new Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
Makes me laugh every time. No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I will each bring a trivia question, one easy, one hard, and try to stump one another. Karen is joining us this week. I'm not sure how we're going to do this. We'll have to figure it out as we go. The theme this week is the Wiggums. Any questions surrounding the Wiggum family? This is a suggestion by, I have it right here somewhere. Gosh, why do I always lose it when I need it? Neil at After Thief. He's suggested multiple ones. This is his most recent. How should we do this, guys? I don't think it'd be fair to try and do a one-off because the Skype lag would be unfair to Kieran especially.
I was thinking just whoever gets that first. But...
Okay. You're working on with a handicap, Kieran, just because I know you're a couple seconds behind. Even I know Matt hears me a couple seconds. I think you're a couple seconds after, but we'll worry about it. If you can beat Matt on any of these questions, I'd be very impressed because Matt is a wunderkind. I'll start us off with an easy question. Complete this line by Ralph Wiggum. I bent my blank.
Okay.
Damn.
Karen just threw down the gauntlet, Matt.
I know. Speed has never been my my good suit.
Matt, you want to next?
Sure. All right. I misunderstood the theme, and therefore all of my questions are about Ralph.
Well, that's fine. He's a Wiggum.
All right. Who did Ralph choose as his Valentine in I Love Lisa?
Lisa Simpson.
Good job, guys.
Easy one there. That was pretty close. Karen?
I'm not sure, because to me this was an easy question, but based on your one, I'm not sure how easy this one is now.
I explain it. Easy is how a casual fan would probably get it right. A medium is a solid fan would get it right, and then a hard one is...
Okay.
It's very hard, but you do whatever. It doesn't matter.
Well, I had two. One of them I wasn't going to use, and you'll see why I wasn't going to use it, but I'll use that one instead. And as soon as I say this, you'll see why I wasn't going to use it.
Okay.
But if you want, I'll tell you what the other one was as well.
Okay.
What is Ralph Wiggum's diorama of?
Star Wars.
Yeah.
Sorry, Star Wars figurines.
Yeah.
See, you beat me on that one, Matt. You're just too fast.
Do you want to hear
that? Going to be one of my questions.
Oh, good. Excellent. What's your other one, Karen? Sure.
This one I thought was easy. What was the name of the bad guy in the Chief Wiggum / Seymour Skinner spin-off?
Oh,
Big Daddy.
Big Daddy, yeah.
Oh. See, that was what I thought was easy.
If it's for casual fans,
I'd say more. That's more of a medium.
That's true. He very slowly got away, so he'd always come back.
He's very slowly getting away. Okay, I got a medium question, and it's a little tricky. I don't think it's going to stump either you guys, but I think it's fun. Name the three members of the Wiggum family.
Ralph, Clancy, and Sarah?
Correct. I was not sure if you guys were going to get Sarah. That's the only tricky part of that one.
I think they only ever mentioned her name once in Grade School Confidential, to be honest.
What's your medium question, Matt?
All right, medium question. In This Little Wiggy, what did Ralph say the people in the electric chair smelled like?
Marshmallows?
Nope. You're close, though.
Popcorn.
What'd you say, Kieran?
Popcorn.
Nope. It's something else you cook over a fire.
S'mores. S'mores the same as marshmallows? We don't have s'mores over here.
Hot dogs?
Hot dogs. That's okay. Correct.
That's cheating. I didn't know the answer to that. Without your hint, I would not have gotten that. So I didn't know that off the top of my head.
Okay. So move that to hard.
This one, I'm very proud of this one because I know Matt doesn't know the answer unless I'm under.
Is it my medium one?
Oh, I'm sorry, Kieran. Excuse me. Go ahead. Give us a medium.
I've got a few here as well, and I might go through these. We'll do the medium one. We'll do the hard ones, and then if you want, I'll give you my spare ones.
Okay.
What was Chief Wiggum's job as a pimply teenager?
He guarded the biological warfare lab.
Oh, God.
Yep.
Yeah.
The student security for Springfield State University's germ research lab.
I totally forgot about that. It's clearing up my acne.
Right. Asthma.
The acne remains. Right. I got it backwards. Okay. So, my hard one. I don't think... I always get Matt with the pop culture ones. So, I think I can get him on this one. We'll see. In Das Bus, Ralph wears makeup similar to which KISS member?
Peter Criss.
I actually knew that one!
Oh. Okay, so...
Thank you, Family Guy. You taught me something.
Bonus points for the instrument he played and the code name for his character.
The drums and the Catman?
Correct.
Correct. Didn't even have a chance, man.
Okay, Matt, what's your hard one?
All right, my hard one, which isn't really that hard. It's just one of my favorite Wiggum moments ever. In Grade School Confidential, what did Ralph say he saw Principal Skinner and Mrs. Krabappel doing in the closet?
Making babies? And the baby looked at him?
Yes,
that is correct. They were making babies, and the baby looked at me.
Oh, that's so good.
Oh, that's so great. Good job, Kieran.
So did I win that?
Yes, you did. You got it.
I think so, definitely.
Yeah, okay, you got
I've
it.
Got. Do you want a bunch of hard questions here?
Sure. Just throw them out there.
What is the name of Clancy Wiggum's father?
Clancy Wiggum?
Iggy Wiggum.
Oh, Iggy. Yes. Oh, what was I? I'm thinking of which of the fathers is the same name? Is it Seymour?
That was Sheldon Skinner.
Sheldon. One of them has the exact same name. I forget who it was. Man.
What is the name of the hockey team that Clancy Wiggum coaches?
The Pigs.
Pigs.
The Mighty Pigs.
Oh, the Mighty Pigs. We didn't win by Jeopardy standards.
Oh, nuts.
What is the name of Ralph's imaginary friend?
Wiggle Puppy.
You guys are killing me.
And what does the town charter state... The chief constable is entitled to once a month.
A comely wench?
A pig and two comely lasses of virtue true.
Oh my God. You're killing me, man. I'm dead.
One pig every month and two comely lasses of virtue true.
I was like, I knew it was a comely something or other, but yeah, you guys. Wow, those are good ones. I like it. Kieran, we often have listeners submit questions to me, and then I'll read them for Matt. I'll do this. I have an interesting challenge. This was from Joanna. I'm going to read the first names of a whole bunch of characters, and you have to say the last name.
Okay.
And this is rapid fire.
We both do it. We're both in on this.
Yeah. You get both. Yes, we'll do the same format. Just try and beat each other. And it seems like it'd be easy, but there's a couple tricky ones in here. Okay,
you're doing four names, and we're doing surnames.
Correct. Yeah. Charles Montgomery.
Burns.
Eleanor.
Lovejoy? No.
Abernathy is the last name. That's the cat lady.
Oh, great. Cat lady.
Troy.
McClure.
Edna.
Krabappel.
Maud.
Flanders.
Lenny.
Leonard.
Selma.
Bouvier.
Otto.
Mann.
Bart.
Simpson.
Mo.
Sislak.
Gary.
Oh, is that combo guy?
No.
Gary.
I would say this is the hardest one. Chalmers. Superintendent Chalmers. Gary Chalmers. Herschel.
Krastowski.
Jasper.
Winces?
Mm-mm. Matt, you've gotten this right before.
I know, but I'm blanking on it today.
Beardley. Jasper Beardley.
Oh,
damn it.
Oh, I've got like a CD in my hand that I'm just idly playing with. I went to throw it across the room. Should have gotten that.
Willie?
Man, we're really failing here.
McDougal. His last name is McDougal.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Really? That's... McDougal? I had no idea.
Yeah, that's
I knew it was going to be like a Mook something, but I didn't know.
Yeah, that's a hard one. Nick?
Riviera.
Ned?
Flanders.
Ralph?
Wiggum.
Hans?
Moleman.
Nelson?
Months.
Waylon?
Smithers.
Homer?
Simpson.
Kirk Van?
Houghton.
Milhouse Van?
Houghton. Is Van Houghton...
I guess technically surname? Van Houten is the whole last name. It's German, I suppose, so I guess Van Houten would be the whole thing. That is German, right? That's a German name?
Or German
is
it?
Well, there's a whole thing where, like, his father's side is German, but his mother's side is, I want to say, Swiss or Dutch.
Well, his father's side is Danish, his mother's side is Dutch, and they fight, apparently.
Okay. So, Apu.
That's going to be passed along.
Wow, that's impressive, man.
I was waiting for a poo. Todd?
Flanders.
Joe? How about if I say Diamond Joe?
Quimby.
So that's it. Yeah, exactly. It's a little tricky if you don't put Diamond in front of that. Kent?
Brockman.
Barney?
Gumball.
Cletus?
Didn't we just have this one too?
No, we've never had Cletus' last name. Spuckler?
No, I didn't have that.
Yeah, that's hard.
I swear we've had that. I don't think you told me that before.
I don't think so. Last one, Seymour.
Skinner.
Correct. You guys. All right,
Tamsarian.
Matt, that does not, that's not canon. That's non-canonical in The Simpsons. We all forgotten that happened exactly after it happened. That was retcon. Even at the end of the episode, they're like, this is not a very good idea. Let's get rid of this forever. That was very interesting. Challenge, especially with those.
I enjoyed that a lot.
The weird ones. That's the hardest. The Joe Quimby thing is the weirdest one. That you just say Joe, you're like Joe.
Yeah, it's a common name.
But then you say Diamond Joe, you're like, oh, of course. Yeah. All right. So call it a day on that one. Okay. It is time for our final segment. Segment we end every show with. It is time for best episode ever. Best episode ever is the part of the show where Matt and I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. This is... I'm having a hard time knowing where to put this.
It's really good, but...
It's good. Is it... Okay. It's a Marge episode. Is it as good as Brush with Greatness? That's, I think, the instant comparison.
God, it's so hard to pick because, yes, I mean, you even have John Lovitz in both of them. So,
yeah.
I guess this one has Troy McClure and Lionel Hutz in it. So you got Phil Hartman there. But that makes it a little better, right?
I'm going to go with this caveat in that I like Brush with Greatness more. I think A Streetcar Named Marge is a better episode.
I mean, honestly, the songs kind of put it above.
Yeah, I was going to say, the songs and the B Maggie story is really... So better than Brush with Greatness. Is it better than Bart the Murderer?
Karen, what do you think?
Yeah, I'd put this one pretty high. This one would go pretty, pretty high for me.
Bart the Murderer is currently number 12 on our list. Last week was Camp Krusty. We put that at number 10.
I'd definitely put it above Camp Krusty. I'm not a massive fan of Camp Krusty.
I can recognize the good parts of Camp Krusty, but it's not one of my favorites.
I find it hard to watch Camp Krusty without knowing the backstory behind it, which I'm sure you got into last time.
I think we did, but
about how it was supposed to be the movie.
Yeah, yes.
Well, then they found they barely had enough content for a 22-minute episode, let alone a movie.
Yeah.
I always think about that when I watch that.
It has songs like Colonel Homer. Is it better than Colonel Homer?
I think so.
I think so, too. I like it better than Colonel Homer. I think it's funnier than Colonel Homer.
It's definitely funnier than Colonel Homer, that's for sure.
Okay, so Kieran, you were on Homer at the Bat. Is it better than Homer at the Bat?
No.
Okay, I know what you said. That's your third favorite, right, or second favorite?
Yeah, it's in the top three. I can't remember what list they gave, and I don't want to give another list and contradict myself.
It's one of the two. I think Homer the Bat's better as well. I would put it. It's Homer the Bat's really good, Matt. I think it's
good, but it really trades in its star power more than anything.
Okay, you would put it above.
I disagree though, because the star power isn't there for me because I don't know who any of them are outside of the context of that episode. My entire knowledge of the if those people come back up in the news, I always relate it back to that before I relate it to anything else. So I think it stands apart on its own away from the star power.
I would put this at number 9, Matt, right above Colonel Homer, right below Homer at the Bat.
I can be okay with that because I didn't know who any of these people were at that point either because I wasn't a big baseball fan. So okay, fair enough.
You know, I think the songs are Colonel Homer. I think has better songs, but I think overall this episode is better. I think it's funnier. The Maggie story alone adds a lot.
It really does. It doesn't seem like it's going to be that big of a part of the episode, but it is so well done and so funny that thinking back to this episode, I remember the A story, but the B story is what really makes me laugh. It's fantastic.
Okay, then. So new number 9 is a streetcar named Marge, which dear Lord, this is we've got so many good episodes. It's hard to, you're splitting hairs at a certain point, but it's such a good episode. And next episode is this one. I am already going to tell you is going to be a very, very high ranked episode. It's Homer the Heretic. I'm going to say it right now.
Oh God,
Homer the Heretic is the next one.
That's really good.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites of all time. So I'm gonna, I'm fairly certain it's very positive on it as well.
Yes,
it's such a good episode, but. You can find this list at our website, SimpsonsShow.com, thesimpsonsshow.com, along with links to our Facebook, to our Twitter, to our RSS feed. Comment on episodes. I will have that link to those woodcuts if you guys want to look at those. And you can donate to the show, which we'd obviously appreciate. Let's see. Before we go, Kieran, plug your stuff.
If anyone didn't listen to the last time I was on, the main thing people might know me from is I do a podcast with my girlfriend called Journey to Misery, where I explain complicated comics continuity characters and concepts to her, and it's her reactions that really make it. I'm just the guy just reading facts and events. I try and make it as fun and entertaining as possible, and people have commented saying that I do a good job of that, but I think the main selling point is Helena's unique reactions to it, because when you read comics for as long as I have, and I'm sure as long as you guys have, stuff just becomes routine. So to take that out and put it in front of someone who has no real frame of reference, and just to give it them all at once on a specific character, you get some really fun reactions. The one I'm pointing to as kind of an example of that is I just used the word cheesecake just offhand to describe Frank Cho, and that led to like a 5-10 minute discussion about why we use that word to describe artists that draw sexy ladies, and she's right, like, why do we use that word?
I've actually had that discussion before with someone who's never heard that before, and you're right. It makes no sense, really, when you break it down.
So recently we did an episode all about Ultron. If you've just seen Avengers Age of Ultron, that is a really good jumping on point for the show, because we kind of go through every incarnation of that character. We're doing this week, we've already recorded it, it's edited, it's ready to go up, a big, massive 2-hour special on Jonathan Hickman's run on Avengers, leading into the big Secret Wars crossover that starts this week. So that might not be the best jumping on point, but if you're planning on reading Secret Wars and seeing what's up with Marvel Universe over the summer, that's a good episode to start with. That's pretty much everything else. I've got some other stuff on the boil. I kind of took a step back with some of the stuff that I might have plugged last time. But Journey to Misery, have a nice day. My old podcast is dead, but it's still on iTunes as of today. So you might be able to go get old episodes. I'm not sure if it's going to disappear at some point. All of that stuff you can find at kingimpulse.com, by the way. Or just search on iTunes or Stitcher. I am at kingimpulse on Twitter, and I'm there pretty much all the time.
I was going to say, I'm looking forward to the Hickman Avengers episodes because I have read most. I still don't understand a lot of what is happening. So guys, check that out. I am on Twitter at MixmasterCEL. That's MixmasterCEL. Please check out my comic book podcast, Handsome Boys Comics Hour. You know, iTunes, etc. Matt does not participate in social media. You will not find him.
That's true, but I got a brand new shovel, so I'm wandering around Florida digging holes. So if you want me to find something, stick it in the ground, and eventually I'll find it.
And with that, I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.